This first prayer request is for the family of Diane Thompson, Burns Flat resident. She moved to her final resting place yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then we want to pray for Tom Johnson, who has COVID, and also Jeff Waters, who has COVID.
Okay.
So let's cover those guys.
Yes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we pray for the family of Diane Thompson. Lord God, I personally know Joe and Jolene. And I pray, God, that your grace and peace be upon them in such a way that they experience a peace that passes all understanding. God, I know that they are people of faith who believe with all assurance in the eternal hope of heaven and in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that testimony. I thank you that you were able to comfort them with the hope of heaven because Jesus was received and acted upon as Lord in Diane's life. I praise you and thank you for that. And I ask, Father God, that in the case of Tom Johnson, Jeff Waters, who have been attacked by this manipulated virus of COVID, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, this demonic attack would cease against these people, against these brothers. I pray in Jesus' name that they would have a supernaturally quick recovery and that you'd give them wisdom and discernment of what to do and what not to do. And we ask your hedge of protection. We cast down the curse of COVID in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Got another.
Monica.
My sister Renee asked us to pray for her father-in-law, Robert Guilford Sr. He's in the hospital in Oklahoma City. He's got a blockage, and they're going to try to do something about it today.
Okay. Father, we bring Robert to you. You know every detail about what's going on with every person. You're well aware of Robert's need and the plan that they have to proceed with it, Father. And we just pray for your will to be done. We know that you give medical professionals wisdom that could have only come from you. The things they can do are absolutely amazing. And God, we entrust his well-being to you, believing that you'll get glory out of it. Father, we pray for anyone who's going for procedures. I know that my son-in-law Jeff's going today for oral surgery to have some teeth dealt with. And I pray, Lord, that whatever procedure anyone's having, God, that you would just prevail in that. Your peace would keep them and guard them, and wisdom would lead the hands of those health and professionals that are treating people today. We ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name.
Amen. The Elk City Indian Baptist Church at 916 West 7th Street is having their camp meeting this week. It started last night, going through Saturday, and each day they serve breakfast at 9, and then they serve supper at 5. And Delford, we call him Bunny, was on here yesterday talking about that. He said their 9 o'clock breakfast, it's a time of just fellowship and sharing scriptures and testimonies and things like that. So that's pretty neat. Then at 7 o'clock in the evening, they have their service. Pastor Fred Lowe is the pastor that's bringing the messages this week. So if you can attend that, I know you will be blessed. Prophetic Voice Ministries at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City has Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and services again on Sunday evening at 6. Plus, they have a prayer meeting on Tuesday at 6 and Bible study on Thursday at 7. The Refuge Church, which is non-denominational, is at 18410 Highway 152 Sayre. That's 3 miles west of Sayre on 152. Sunday school at 10 o'clock, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and youth group at 7 on Wednesday. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors. As I said earlier in the program, Spain's Construction out of Weatherford is our Facebook sponsor today.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection of people and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
We are back. It is time for the, it is the hour of power. And we have a great lesson being brought to us today by Pastor Dwight. So I'm ready for you to get right back into it. I got my tablet over here. I'm filling some things out.
You're taking notes, aren't
you? Taking notes, yep.
Amen. Take notes and apply it.
Yeah.
I'm not here to entertain you. Somebody said, that's good. You're not very entertaining. I'm trying. I'm not Terrell Glaze. I mean, come on now, you know. Praise the Lord. I love that guy. We're looking in the book of Hosea. We're talking about what's the problem, and better yet, what's the answer. Because, you know, you can get all kind of people talk to you about the problems. Sometimes I just get tired of hearing about it. I mean, I try to keep my hand on the pulse of what's going on in America from sources I consider to be reliable, not the mainstream media. But I try to keep my hand on the pulse of what's going on in America, and I'm not I don't focus on it a lot. But I'm not unaware. I am aware of current events. I'm aware that there was even another shooting yesterday here in the state of Oklahoma, in Tulsa. There was a shooting last weekend. There was a shooting in Texas. There was a shooting in New York. There was a blah, blah, blah. But at the same time as that, and people say, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with our country? Well, listen to this passage in Hosea. Again, I read from Hosea chapter 4. Verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you. In other words, God's going to say, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. He goes, there's no faithfulness, there's no love, there's no acknowledgement of God in the land. Let me ask you a question. What's the greatest commandment God ever gave to humanity? According to Jesus, it was this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your might, depending on what translation, and all your strength. I like to break it down where even I can get it. What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? He goes, love God with everything you got, all the time. If you do that, if we live that way, if people live that way, every person lived that way, we wouldn't even need laws. You can't legislate morality. You can't make people think a certain way by passing laws. And guns are not the problem. Because if there was no such thing as guns, people would be knocking each other in the head with rocks if they had to. If murder is in their heart, I take you back to, in your mind at least, back to the very first murder that ever happened on this earth. It did not take long for it to happen. Adam and Eve had a son named Cain, and they had a son named Abel. And they brought their offerings before the Lord, and Cain just brought God his leftovers. In other words, there's no faithfulness in Cain. There wasn't love in Cain. There wasn't obedience to God in Cain. He wanted to have it his way. He wanted to define the rules himself. That was Cain's issue. And God addressed the issue. I want to just stick your finger in Hosea. We'll come back there. Go to Genesis. I want to show you something here. Because God puts his finger right exactly on what the issue is. And the issue is not, Cain didn't have a gun, but yet he committed murder. He didn't have a knife, but yet he committed murder. And you say, well, did he pick a rock up and bash his brother's head in with it? The Bible doesn't tell us. But it does tell us what the real issue is. It's found in Genesis 4. In Genesis 4, remember, Cain brought his offering to the Lord. Abel brought his offering. Cain just brought God his leftovers. Abel brought God his first fruits. Abel showed love toward God. Cain just showed that he despised the things of God. And then Cain got angry about it when God's blessing was on Abel. And so Cain was jealous and angry. And here's what God said to him in verse 6 of Genesis 4, 6. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Did you ever notice that the people that want to deny God seem to be angry all the time? Antifa, Black Lives Matter. Those are Marxists, man. Marxists don't believe in God. Marxism is an atheistic ideology. You can't tell me that that's a godly thing. It's not a godly thing. It's from the devil. It's anarchy. It's atheistic. It denies the sovereignty and the reality of God, and especially of his Christ Jesus. Cain was angry. God says, "Why are you downcast? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what's right," look at this, "if you don't do what's right," he says, "sin is crouching at your door." I'm reading from the New International Version Bible. So he goes, "Sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must master it." In other words, you can overcome sin if you choose to. You don't have to give in to sin, but you can. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door, desires to master you." Now Cain goes out from that. God warns him. He goes, "Sin's crouching at your door." I get a picture of like a lion crouching outside someone's door. And God goes, "Sin is trying to get you, boy. Sin is crouching at your door, trying to devour you, but you can master it." And what is Cain's response to that? It says, Cain said to his brother, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him, murdered his own brother. And he didn't do it with an assault rifle. He didn't do it with a handgun. He didn't even do it with a knife. It doesn't tell us if he did it with a rock or if he just choked him or punched him or how he did it, but he killed his own brother because the problem is not the weapon that the person uses. The problem is the person.
That's right.
Well, technically, the problem not even the person. The problem is the evil that has attached itself to the heart of that person. The problem is the way that person thinks, their mindset. You know, that boy in Uvalde, Texas, 18 years old, who took that weapon into grade school, first of all, he shot his own grandmother. Then he took some shots at some people on the way to the school. And then he goes into the school and shoots it up. It is pure concentrated evil. It's got Satan writ all over it. Now, there are warning signs should have been heeded. I mean, first of all, how does an 18-year-old boy like him get all that expensive guns and expensive ammunition and stock them all up and nobody pays attention to it? And the boy's got a record of abusing animals, carrying around dead cats in a bag. It's pretty obvious he's got problems, and yet no one's seeing the issue. The problem was not the guns. It was not the ammunition. The problem was, I'm going to bury my head in the sand and pretend like evil don't exist. And that's just not the way to go about things. We need to help people who are hurting before they hurt other people. And the best way that I can help and you can help someone who's hurting is to bring them to the healer. Because I can assure you one thing, no one with Christ as Lord of their life and their heart and their mind, while surrendered to his lordship, ever hurt another human being in the sense of physical hurt and murder. Never happened. Never once did anyone ever surrendered to the lordship of Jesus murder another human being. So the issue, the problem is exactly the same problem as there was, and I turned back over to Hosea, is what was going on in Hosea. He said there's no faithfulness. And faithfulness, what do you mean faithfulness? No faithfulness to God. He said there's no love. What do you mean love? There's no love towards God. When you're not faithful toward God, you don't love God. You're not faithful toward other people, you don't love other people. If you don't have a culture of light, you're going to have a culture of darkness. If you don't have a culture that promotes life, you're going to have a culture that promotes death. That's just automatic. If you don't choose the blessing, the curse will be there. Remember God said, "I set before you this day life and blessing, death and cursing. Choose. We choose it. We're going to choose it here in Oklahoma later this month in June. We got some primary elections. We're going to choose whether we get to choose candidates that are going to best represent a life culture or a death culture, a blessing culture or a cursing culture. And you need to do your homework and find out which one best represents that, and then cast your vote accordingly. And don't buy the devil's lie that your vote don't matter, because it matters, even if God's the only one that ever counts it because they took yours out, which I'm not saying they're going to do that. But even if they did, your vote would still matter. Amen.
Amen.
I know, I'm ranting, but somebody got to do it. Mm-hmm. And God's given me a spirit of boldness that I guarantee you this, I'm bold enough to speak the truth in love. And I'm not worried about losing members in my church. If they'll leave the church because the pastor spoke the truth, then they wasn't ever in the church in the first place. Their body might have been, but their heart wasn't. I have to leave that between them and God. I'm going to preach the truth. God said there's no faithfulness, no acknowledgement, no love. So in the lack of those three qualities, faithfulness, love, and acknowledgement of God, here's what happened. When light was gone, darkness came in. He said there's only cursing. In other words, the casting of curses. There's lying, murder, stealing, adultery. They break all bounds, he says. And bloodshed follows bloodshed. Sounds like a news report from now. You say, well, we got all this bloodshed going on, all these bad things going on. They've taken away all boundaries. They can't even decide what gender they are. Why is that? It's because of a lack of faithfulness, a lack of love, and a lack of an acknowledgement of God. That's what the problem is. So why is it so dark in our culture today? Because somebody turned the lights off, or dimmed it, at least. They said, it's fine. You Christians go shine on each other. Just keep it in your building there. And then they decided when the COVID come along, no, don't even keep it in your building. We'll try to extinguish it all together. And they didn't realize that when they made the church go outside the building, they were just opening up a whole new avenue of ministry. Blew up in their face, as it always will. But how come, here's my question, how did the people get so messed up in Hosea's day? How come the people are so messed up? The real problem, verse 6, Hosea said this, 4:6, my people are destroyed, they perish for lack of knowledge. Listen to how the New International Reader's Version translates it. It's pretty good. It goes, my people perish because they don't know me. When he says lack of knowledge there, he's not saying my people perish because they didn't get a college education. They lack knowledge. They need more scientific knowledge. That's not what he's saying. He didn't say my people perish for lack of education. The more educated we've become as a society, it seems like, the stupider we've gotten. Because, honestly, you think the devil hasn't infiltrated that education system? What do they teach kids nowadays? Or what are they trying to teach them? Look at it, man. They want to get drag queens to read to the pre-K kids, get a hold of them, mess them up before they're too big, too old enough to recognize the difference. You don't get confused unless somebody confuses you. And then you get them through the public school system of grade school and high school, and if they survive that, send them off to college, where more often than not, the professors are practically atheists. I mean, and they just try to indoctrinate these kids with an idea that government is God. Be careful about that. You say, well, I don't have a choice but to send my kids to public school. I don't have the money to send them to a private school. Well, pray about it, first of all. Don't just decide you can't get it done. God can make a way. But at the same time, say, well, I do have to send my kids to public school. Well, good. When they come home from the public school, then you may have a good public school system. But even a good public school system, it's not a God public school system. So when they come home from that, Monica, when the angel comes home from that, you have to detoxify him because he's been into a toxic environment. So you're going to help him detoxify. You're going to have to talk to him. If he hears things at school from other kids or from teachers or whatever that counteract or contradict what God says, it's our job as parents and grandparents and influencers to help these kids understand that, well, they may say that, and the book and school and science may teach that, but here's what God says about it, and we know that God is true. You know? So somebody needs to teach the truth. Parents need to teach the truth. You ready for this one? Pastors need to teach the truth. I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to talk to some of my brothers and sisters in the ministry for just a moment. Hosea said the people are being destroyed because they don't know God. Well, how come they don't know God? Is there no priest in the land? Is there no preachers in the land? Oh, they had all kinds of priests in the land. Here's what God said to them. Verse 6b, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you ignored the law of God, I'll ignore your children. And the more the priests increase, the more they sinned against me. And they exchanged their, my NIV says, they exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. You know what the word glory can be translated as? Anointing. They were more concerned about the offerings than the anointing. They were more concerned about the attendance, the anointing. They were more concerned about pleasing the deacons and the people than they were concerned about pleasing God. So they shut their mouth. If they knew that Deacon Jones liked to go to the casino, they didn't dare talk about the association of greed with gambling because Deacon Jones would get mad and take all of his money out of the church and the pastor would get fired. So they began to squelch him. Well, see, but that wasn't going on in their day. In their day, the priests were just this. They saw the people sinning and they thought, I'll do it too. And had the priest sinned and the people sinned. Priest sinned and the people sinned. Let me read something to you from our history here. It's actually, I'm going to read to you a quote from us, a ministry from Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a great revivalist, the great awakening in the United States. Here's what he said. He said, if there's a decay of conscience, the pulpit's responsible for it. Mm. And he was a preacher. He said, if the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit's responsible for it. He said, if the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit's responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit's responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. He wrote that over 100 years ago. Sounds like he wrote it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he was predicting it. In his time, it wasn't like it is now. I guarantee you they weren't trying to pass laws to kill babies 28 days after they're born. They wouldn't even know, oh my gosh, they couldn't even conceive such a thing. Or having men marrying men and women marrying men, they couldn't even conceive such a thing. But yet he saw that if the morality of our society declined in the future, it would be because preachers quit preaching the truth. That's when he says the pulpit's responsible, he's saying that. Preachers quit preaching the truth. They quit declaring what was right in the sight of God and quit declaring what was wrong in the sight of God and just tried to, well, in the New Testament says in the last days the people heap up preachers and teachers that'll tickle their ears, itchy ears with what they want to hear. I love the prosperity message because God's will is prosperity. It's part of his covenant. But if that's all if a preacher only wants to preach about how God wants to prosper you and he will never ever confront sin and he'll never ever talk about righteousness and holiness and the truth of salvation, then that preacher is not preaching the whole word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you ought to preach you God wants you poor, because that's not right either. But we want to bring the message of God, the entirety of the message of God. God hates sin. He loves sinners, or we would never get saved. But he hates sin, and he wants to save us in our sin, but from our sin. He doesn't save us in it so we can stay there. He wants us to change and be the salt and light. But here in Hosea's day, man, even the priests were corrupted. The priests were corrupted. And he went on down there and he goes, like people, like priests, like people. And so Charles Finney, man, he nailed it. Charles Finney had the discernment of God to nail it. And he goes, if our moral society declines, if our halls of legislation become corrupt and Satan is the one that's ruling in there. And if you don't think he's got a stronghold, you just look at what goes on in Washington, D.C., let alone other capitals around the world. But you look at what goes on in Washington, D.C., and you go, yeah, Satan, I mean, he's got a strong foothold in that place. It's amazing the corruption, the depth of the corruption that has infiltrated government. You see, why is that? Because the preachers didn't preach the truth. Now, let me bring some balance to this, because I like to be balanced. I'm a preacher who preaches truth. I preach against sin. I preach for righteousness. I don't condemn people. And Monica's heard me preach hundreds and hundreds of times. You never heard me condemn someone because of their lifestyle that they chose, even if their lifestyle is an abomination according to the Word of God. I don't condemn the person, but I confront the sin. And in doing so, I'm hoping to show that there's a different way to live. I don't condemn people. But at the same time, I've never yet been able to force somebody to change the way they think or change the decisions they make. I don't get to choose. Monica's been a member of our church for several years. She's certainly transformed from what she used to be. But I don't get to choose her choices. She chooses them. Right? Monica, Neva's pastor don't choose her choices. Neva chooses them.
That's right.
Nobody. I choose my choices. So listen to this passage of Scripture. This is, let's go over to Ezekiel. We're in Hosea. I know these are kind of hard to find because we're not used to looking at these books. But go to Ezekiel, which is literally right in front of where you're at now. Just barely toward the front of your Bible from there. But go to Ezekiel. And I know I'm almost out of time, so I'm going to hurry. But Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. We have to come back for the second hour.
Okay.
Now, remember in Hosea, he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. In other words, they don't know me, God says. They don't know the Lord. And he, in Hosea's day, he goes, it's because you priests, you've become corrupt. You're not teaching the people the truth. Now, in Ezekiel's day, which is a day of decline also, here's what he said to him in verse 30. Of chapter 33, Ezekiel 33:30, and we're going to read through about the two verses, 32. As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of their houses. In other words, they're setting home, and they're saying to each other, come hear the message that has come from the Lord. Let's go here. Let's go to church and listen to the preacher. Let's go. Let's tune into the preacher on our power. Verse 31, he said, my people come to you. My people, God's people, my people come to you as they usually do. They had a habit of it. And they sit before you and they listen to your words, but they don't put them into practice. With their mouth, they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. In other words, money is their God. Indeed, to them, you're nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they don't put them in practice. In other words, they had reduced the teaching of God's word to entertainment. They had come to be entertained, not inspired. They would come and listen to Ezekiel. They wanted to get a word from God. I wonder what the latest word from God is. Let's go listen to Ezekiel talk. It's very entertaining when he talks. It's like listening to somebody sing a beautiful song or play an instrument well. It doesn't change anything because we don't put it into practice. We don't change the way we vote. Because we've always voted that way. Put it into practice. I'm a preacher, and I have a choice whether or not I'm going to speak the truth. That's my responsibility. It's also my responsibility to live what I preach. But I can't make you live it. You have to choose that. So if preachers will preach the truth, that's step one. And I know there are many who are. The church is awake now more than it was in 2018, 2019, 2020. The church is more awake. Pastors are more awake. But there are a lot of pastors that still, they refuse to touch any of the topics I've mentioned today. They wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole because they're, honestly, they're overwhelmed with fear. They're afraid of the government. They're afraid they'll lose people out of the church. They're afraid they'll lose money. They're afraid they'll lose popularity. They're afraid. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. God gave us a spirit of the power and love and a sound mind. And we've got to be bold and speak up. We as Christians have got to be bold and speak up. And speak it up with your T-shirt. Speak it up with your life. Speak it up with your actions. Speak it up when you vote. Speak it up how you spend your money. Don't you go buying Disney garbage right now and helping them pay for their agendas. Don't be shopping at Walgreens and Target helping them pay for that agenda. Don't be, you know, call your State Farm agent, your local State Farm agent, and let them know, I'm praying for you because I know you don't support what your corporation is trying to promote up there. And I'm praying God will give you wisdom and discernment. Because State Farm, can you believe that? State Farm sending out emails to their local agents wanting support, wanting them to give money to publish books to for drag queens to read to little kids in early age school. State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm's there. And it's like, no, like a creepy neighbor, State Farm is there. That's what the corporate, I'm not talking about our local agents. These local State Farm agents, that's not their agenda. They didn't ask for that. It shocked them as much as it shocks us. Don't hate on them. Don't hate on any person at the corporate office. Just hate the agenda and call it what it is. If it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. You know, if it promotes the devil's agenda, it probably belongs to the devil. So we vote with the way we spend our money, and we vote with our voices. We've got a voice. Use it. I love you. God bless you. What the problem? Sin, lack of truth, lack of knowledge, lack of love. What's the answer? Jesus. Listen to this quick quote, and then Monica's going to tell us something. Sin. Let me get this. I got this. Sin perverts. Jesus converts.
Amen.
Sin deforms. Jesus transforms.
I want to touch on something about, you said something about detoxifying Angel when he gets home from school.
Mm-hmm.
So not too long ago, Angel has a tablet.
Yeah.
I have approved certain things that he is allowed to do on the tablet. YouTube isn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was doing his tablet thing, and I was resting, and he got up to go to the bathroom, and I just, something told me to go see what he's looking, what he's doing on his tablet. So I get up, and we pass each other. He's going to the bathroom, and I'm going to his room, and as I walk in his room, I said, what are you doing? What was you doing on your tablet? And that baby turned around with a quickness and went back to his room where his tablet was. I picked his tablet up, and I went to the, I looked at what he was looking at, and I was like, what are you on YouTube for, and why are you watching this?
Mm-hmm.
So then, Granny went to the history of it, and he had been watching and listening to things on YouTube that he's not allowed to do.
Yeah.
So Granny sat with him, said, dude, you broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're not allowed to be on YouTube. You no longer have access to electronics until I tell you otherwise.
And that's called parenting, right?
Yes.
I went to school board meeting to confront an issue with teachers showing a YouTube video in our school system that was atheistic and corrupt and disgusting. We have to do that. We've got to stand up. I didn't go in there and complain. I've been going to them and showing a support and praying for them and being at them. I didn't just go to complain. I go there to support them, but I brought that issue before their attention so that they could address it, because I know that our school board members love the kids and our school administration love the kids, and they want to protect them, so I wanted to bring something to their attention so they could do that.
Mm-hmm. And I asked Angel, I said, where did you hear about this stuff? He said, well, a girl from my class.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't care what anybody is allowed to do in your class. This is my home, and that's a no, sir.
Yeah.
Amen. Dwight, will you pray us out of here this morning?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the symptoms of the problem. The symptoms manifest in so many different ways. The issue always goes back to, do we love you? Lord, we know from your word and from your actions that you love us. You sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior and to be our Lord. And in this sin-sick world, Lord, there are a lot of people who have not yet experienced that grace that Jesus alone can bring. There are a lot of people hurting. There are families who are hurting. Father, for the hurting, we pray that, Jesus, you draw near to them and help them to respond to your love so that your healing can flow to them. We pray, God, that if there's someone listening today that they've not responded to Jesus as Lord of their life, or maybe they've confessed Jesus as Lord, but they've been not standing up, I pray, God, for a courage, a boldness, and a wisdom that can only come from the Holy Spirit with Jesus as Lord. And I pray your peace settle over the minds of all your people. We ask your grace in these matters. We pray for this great nation that you've raised up. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've been tuned in to the Hour of Power from me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Dwight. Have a blessed day, and we will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.